Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Nice Pat Benatar there, Mike. Mike Anderson is, of course, helming this this flight for you today. Because, listen, I don't know how to fly a plane. I don't. Although I have flown a plane once, but then again, I think Stevie Wonder flew a plane once, too. So that's not saying much. Hey, good evening to you. Brad Young sitting in this evening at your service until 11 o'clock. We always have fun when we're in because we're going to go through a lot of news of the day. We're going to talk about some legal issues. But most importantly, we are going to hear from you. That's right. If we're not in an interview, the phone lines are always open at 314-436-7900. That's call or text. I've even got the text line up here and love getting texts. And as long as they don't contain four-letter words, most of the time I'll read them on the air. But sometimes I get some words and I'm thinking, there's an FCC violation waiting to happen right there. So I won't read those. But, I will read them, just not on the air. So we've got lots of stuff on tap this evening. But before I go through that, listen, I get lots of emails from listeners, legal questions, observations, criticisms, you know, questioning my parentage, all of those kinds of things, which I love them all, and I respond to every email. So if you want to send me an email, my email address for my law firm, Harris Dowell Fisher & Young, my email address is byoung@harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L.com. So feel free to email, text, call, smoke signals, carrier pigeons, you know, whatever it takes for you to contact me or the show, we are up for it. I'll tell you what's not up is President Biden's approval ratings. Have you seen those lately? I mean, at this point, they're falling faster than Brett Hull at the end of Happy Hour. I mean, they're just going, Mike, you didn't like that joke? Now, come on. That was a good joke, Mike. Go ahead. You got a comment on this?
No, not really. Just with all due respect to Hulley.
I know. But, you know, the most dangerous place in America is standing between Brett Hull and an open bar. I'm just telling you that. I'm not disparaging his character, but that man's got a liver of steel. I'm just telling you, he does. So anyway, guy Biden's his approval ratings are just dropping. We're going to look this evening at a Quinnipiac poll that shows him at 38% approval, which is really lower than Trump's. I mean, imagine for 4 years, all we heard from the mainstream media was Trump's an idiot, Trump's a maniac, nobody likes him, he can't govern, his approval rating stinks. But his approval rating was generally in the low 40s. So Biden's is in the high 30s, so it's even lower. So at this point, of course, I watched I was scanning the network news tonight, and of course, they don't mention anything about that. So that is certainly not surprising. Speaking of polls, another poll released this week, and we'll break this down as the show unfolds this evening. Another poll shows that Americans are increasingly accepting Marxist and socialist ideals. And, you know, when I heard that, I mean, here's the idea. And listen, if you produce TV shows right now, I'm going to give you a free tip. It's going to make you $500 million if you produce a TV show. This would be great streaming on Hulu. I'm just telling you. And here's the show. We set up this reality TV show, and basically the show invites these socialist college students to come on, and they're sent to live in a country that closely resembles their desired political ideology. And they're just left to survive for a couple of weeks. You know, you send them to like Venezuela, okay, or Cuba, or you send them to Belarus, and you say, okay, you love socialism? Here, hang out in Belarus for a couple of weeks, and if you're alive in 2 weeks, you win $1 million. And you send them over there with a camera crew and see how long they last. Those people are going to come back conservatives. Every single one of them are going to come back conservatives, because if you let them loose in a socialist country, they are not going to be happy campers. So anyway, that's my idea for a TV show. And if you make TV shows, if you make a ton of money, don't forget Brad Young. Don't forget how to spell my name, because I do accept checks. One of the things that we're also going to talk about this evening is inflation. And it's, you know, this is something, and I know you say, oh, come on, really? Inflation? How interesting is that? But I'm going to break down some numbers this evening, because when you talk about inflation generically, everybody says, what's up with that? But if you've gone to the store recently, you know that prices are going up, and they're going up fast. And stuff's not available. And when stuff's not available, prices go even higher. I mean, look at the price of gasoline. I think I got down into the high, like $1.70, $1.80, somewhere in there. I filled up today. I think it was $3.05. So it's going up every single day. You know it. I know it. Economists know it. But I'm going to give you some real numbers on what it costs average Americans right now because of inflation. And folks, you can call it inflation, but the bottom line is it takes money out of your pocket and you don't get stuff for it. That's otherwise known as a tax. So we're going to be looking at those numbers this evening. But coming up after this break, we're going to talk to the president of the Missouri Bankers Association about a proposed federal regulation. Again, I know you go yawn, but listen what this thing's going to do. It will allow the federal government to closely monitor your bank account in a way that it's never been done before. Brad Young at your service here on Camo X. We'll be right back.
All the news and all that matters to you. The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young sitting in. And we're going to jump into some banking issues this evening. And I know you say banking, come on, what kind of an issue is that? But right now, what would you say and how would you react if you knew that the federal government was going to start closely monitoring every one of your financial transactions? It's not a lie. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is not something I saw on Twitter. This is something that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is defending. Specifically, she's defending a Biden administration proposal that would require banks to report data to the IRS. Yes, your friend and mine, the IRS, on transactions over $600, $600, calling the collection of information, quote, routine, after taking heat for the idea that is widely seen as an unprecedented invasion of privacy. So to help us explain what this means, how it might work, and how it may impact you, I reached out to Max Cook. He's the president and CEO of the Missouri Bankers Association. Hey, Max, welcome to KMOX Radio.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to have you on this evening, and thanks for making time for us.
I'm happy to do it.
Right now, my understanding is that any banking transaction greater than $10,000 must be reported to the IRS. What's the purpose of that? I've always heard that number. I've had banking people tell me about that, but what's the purpose of that current regulation?
Yeah, the current regulation actually is $10,000 in a cash transaction. So if somebody walks into the bank with $10,000 or more in cash and deposits it or makes a withdrawal of $10,000 or more, that has to be reported on what's called a CTR, a currency transaction report. And it goes in, and the FBI and Secret Service and all this, they track those kind of transactions looking for drug-related transactions, so forth and so on, illegal activity. That's the nature of the current reporting requirement.
And at least from my layman's perspective, there's at least some reasonableness to that because, you know, listen, unless you're going to buy a cheeseburger at Disney World, you don't need $10,000 in cash.
That's exactly right.
So yeah, those are going to be somewhat questionable if you're walking around with withdrawing or depositing 10 grand or more. So at that point, it's to stop or curtail drug use, drug dealers, and the drug industry. But this new proposal by the Biden administration requiring banks to report all transactions over $600, what's the purpose behind this?
Yeah, it's not even $600 transaction. It's gross annual inflows and outflows of $600 or more. So the second that you have put in more than $600 or taken out more than $600 or a combination of the two, everything from that point forward gets reported to the IRS. It is a gross invasion of privacy. I'm amazed that an individual like Janet Yellen would defend such a proposal. It's a violation of the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure. I don't see how this can stand on its own two feet, even if it's included in the final legislation.
Well, I certainly want to get your specific opinions on that. And we're talking to Max Cook. He's the president and CEO of the Missouri Bankers Association. So if it's a year-long tally of $600, basically if someone has a job that pays them anything more than like $30,000 a year, every time they deposit their paycheck, then that's going to exceed or could potentially exceed that $600 figure.
That's exactly right. In fact, if you just took an individual that's making $18 an hour and has no other income, pays rent, buys groceries, buys some gas, so forth and so on, in general, it's going to amount to about $60,000 a year. So, I mean, virtually every person on the face of the earth is going to be impacted by this.
And what's the purpose here? Because we talked before, Max, that this $10,000 cash transaction was designed to limit or inhibit the drug industry or the illegal drug industry. But what's the purpose, at least the stated purpose by the Biden administration, of this confiscatory proposed rule that would really be a violation of our privacy?
Yeah, they believe that there are tax cheaters out there, that you and I and others, and rightfully so, maybe those in the higher income levels, they're aiming at because they think there is income being hidden and taxes should be paid on it. But in the process of trying to do that, they're sweeping everybody into the proposal and violating everybody's rights. The IRS currently has the right to audit individuals and their tax returns if they suspect there are problems there. They don't need this sweeping change in law to do what they need to do.
Well, like so many regulations, Max, it seems to me that the perpetrators of this rule, or at least the perpetrators this rule is designed to catch, if they've got means, if they've got money, and they're destined or at least determined to get around tax laws, they're going to find other ways to do it, even with this new regulation. But those of us who want to abide by the law are going to be the ones who get stuck bearing the burden of this invasion of privacy.
Yeah. Individuals, small businesses, even the banks themselves are going to have problems with all of this. It's a sad state of affairs. Secretary Yellen made the comment that the banks already capture certain information this is just an extension of that. Well, she's grossly misstating what goes on today. It'll be a major undertaking for the financial institutions across this country to capture, tally, and report this information. The banks don't want to do it. We don't want to be the vehicle for putting this information in front of the government. Just too much Big Brother, to be honest with you.
Well, is the banking industry even set up to provide this level of detail to the federal government based upon, you know, current staffing levels in banks?
No. First of all, the computer power that it will take, if you will, to capture this information, it will be tremendous. Tracking each and every transaction, accumulating it over time, and then reporting it will be huge. And the people that it will take to not only update the systems to allow it to happen, but then to prepare the reports and submit it and so forth. It's a huge undertaking. I would tell you, I think Secretary Yellen and others who think this is a good idea are out of touch with reality and what really goes on day to day in the lives of the people in this country.
We're talking to Max Cook. He's the president and CEO of the Missouri Bankers Association. And what I'm hearing you say, Max, is that if this provision goes in into effect, the banking industry nationwide is going to have to hire more people, have to hire more, in essence, bureaucratic help to comply with these regulations, have to just add an enormous capability for computers and IT personnel to manage all those new computers, all for something that does not in any way generate wealth for your customers or generate a return for your investors and stockholders, and is doing nothing more than complying with government regulations. Do I kind of have that right?
You got it right on the head.
Wow.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know, and forget about the banks for the moment. I mean, I feel for the individual taxpayers, because if you stop and think of it, this is just one other thing that they have to have and prepare for their tax return and so forth. And, you know, if you've tried to sit down and prepare your own taxes, even the simplest return isn't easy. And, you know, we're just going to make it even more complicated, more expensive, more time consuming for the average person out there. And we don't need to be doing that.
No, you know, Max, I got to tell you, I'm an attorney. I don't even do my own taxes. I mean, I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So
I don't do mine either.
No, there you go. And you're the president of the Banking Association of Missouri. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, we're in the same boat that it's already too complicated and this is going to make it worse. And I got to tell you, the first thing I thought of when I was reading about this proposed regulation is I was thinking about all of the hacking, computer hacking that's occurred over the last few years through the federal government, where the individual's Social Security numbers were released, where personal information was compromised. And now if you are going to be forced as a bank to provide all of this enormous reams of banking information to the federal government, all of that now is going to be open for hacking.
Yeah, and the IRS has been hacked over and over and over again. And now this treasure trove of new data is going to be sitting in their servers and subject to potential hacks. And we just don't need that to happen. It's not needed. The information, it's hard to figure out how they're going to use this information to ferret out these tax cheaters, so-called tax cheaters. So, I mean, I don't see the need for it. And you're surely putting everybody's privacy and financial security at risk.
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. Hey, last question for you, Max Cook. What's the next step? In other words, where do we go from here, and when would we know whether this regulation goes into effect or not?
Yeah, they are debating this massive $3.5 trillion spending bill right now, and this provision is part of that. It's one of the pay-fors, if you will. It's one of the items they're using to pay for all of the spending. And there's a lot of disagreement, even among Democrats themselves right now, as to what the bill needs to do and how much it needs to be. And they had hoped to have it done by the end of September. Now they're saying the end of October. Mm-hmm. The longer this goes, the less likely it is for it to pass. But this thing needs to get defeated. Say what you want about the $3.5 trillion, but this provision needs to be defeated. And individuals need to reach out to their congressman or woman, their senator, or our senators, and let them know that they are opposed to this provision and that it's a massive intrusion of privacy and financial security. So make the email, the phone call, whatever, to your congressman or woman and to our senators.
Thank you. Hey, Max Cook, again, president and CEO of the Missouri Bankers Association. Thank you so much for your generous time this evening, and thanks for being with us on KMOX.
Happy to do it, Brad, anytime.
I will talk to you again soon, I am sure. So I'm going to open the phone lines, 314-436-7900. Does this bother you? I mean, as I think about the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. This, to me, is the exact opposite of the protection that you have as a U.S. citizen under the Fourth Amendment. Because basically, by them confiscating your financial data, whether you're guilty or innocent, you're now in a position to have to prove your innocence after they've already confiscated all of your financial information. What do you think about that? 314-436-7900. We've got this and more topics to go. You know, if you think this is fun, I mean, we got lots more to do this evening here on At Your Service. Brad Young on KMOX. Don't go away.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get ready for Sunday Night Football as the Chiefs take on the Bills.
Touchdown! City.
Hear the game here. Pre-game at 6. Kickoff 7:20 on your voice of the Chiefs. KMOX.
Welcome back to At Your Service. And I interviewed the president of the Missouri Bankers Association to talk about this, what I think is an invasion of privacy. I think it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And I think it's a Hail Mary attempt to claim that you're raising money to offset this $3.5 trillion boondoggle that's currently being debated on Capitol Hill. And I just hope for lots of reasons this doesn't pass. But also, for just to bring it on home, now, in this $3.5 trillion bill, there's all these big ideas about fighting global warming and providing for the Family Medical Leave Act, all these big ideas. But the bottom line is, this is one of those provisions that will affect every single person that has a bank account. Every single person. That means you. If you have a bank account, this will impact you. And what do you think about the government monitoring all of your transactions once they exceed $600 for an entire year? All that's going to happen, we know it's going to happen. The rich folks are going to transfer their money to the Cayman Islands or transfer it to the Canary Islands or to Switzerland. And the only people left that's going to be burdened by this is going to be me and you. And that's the problem that I have with it. Valerie's been holding through the break. Hey, Valerie, welcome to Camo X.
Hi, thank you. I work for a bank, and I'm familiar with Max Cook and that bill he's referring to. And I think when you just kind of get it down to the everybody's level, if you would sell your mother's old jalopy car for $750, that could be a flag to the government and to the IRS that there's something weird going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they picking on these low dollar? But, you know, it's the normal person. It's ridiculous to think that anybody that has any kind of a checking account doesn't have that $600 minimum amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, does that bother you that the feds want to monitor your bank account that closely? I mean, well, how does that make you feel emotionally?
Sure. As a consumer, I don't think it's their business how I spent my money. You know, if it's not illegal, then I should be good. But honestly, probably what banks would do is just say, I'm going to send you the whole file. Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to force me to do that limit? So does the government care that I went and got a tattoo somewhere? I don't know. You know, that's just a little over the top because there's so many descriptions, and everybody knows that on your bank statement, of what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They don't need to know all that. It should be as an as-needed situation, which it is today.
Right. And, of course, we all know that the federal government is just completely rock solid when it comes to computer security. So none of this information, Valerie, none of this is going to be hacked. None of this is going to get stolen. Oh, no, not at all.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Who
knows where it goes? And the small community banks, now they've got, not only do you have to hire the technology group to make it happen, now you're going to monitor that for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Audit's going to look at it and say, oh, did you follow? Let's look at your system. You know, it's a continuation of hours and generally not cheap hours for the interim, forever.
And Valerie, you make a fantastic point, because if you're looking at some huge bank like Bank of America, U.S. Bank, Chase Manhattan, or those banks, J.P. Morgan, okay, those banks, they've got lots of money. They can hire more people. It can install more computers. It's not a big deal. But when you're talking about your community bank, your savings and loan, your neighborhood bank that's a small, independent bank, that's really going to impact their bottom line, because they're going to have to spend money on people and computers that right now they simply don't have.
Exactly. And that's the thing I love about the Missouri Bankers Association is they look at that community level what kind of an impact do we have on the banks that we have in Missouri. Yeah, we have some big ones, but, you know, there's a whole lot of community banks in between all of that.
Yep, you are so right, Valerie. Hey, thanks for calling in this evening.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. You know, I've long had this view when it comes to taxes. I pay taxes, and because I'm a partner in my law firm, there's no withholding. So I have to actually write a check four times a year to the IRS for all my taxes. I have to physically write a check and send it to the Missouri Department of Revenue 4 times a year. There is no withholding. So I can tell you to the penny how much I pay in taxes every 3 months because I've got to actually sit down and write that check. And it's painful. I mean, you're going to say, oh, Brad, you're a lawyer. I mean, there's nothing painful about it. Well, yeah, it is, because I get to see where that goes. I get to see how much that is. And then I sit and I think about all of the waste, all of the fraud, all of the abuse, and all of the mismanagement that happens from the federal and oftentimes state level. And I'm funding that every 3 months by sending them a check. So my solution for years to the tax problem in the United States has been this. We should stop all withholding for 1 year for all Americans. So when you get your paycheck, you would get your gross pay. Not that there's no withholding. Your employer wouldn't withhold your taxes, wouldn't withhold your FICA, wouldn't withhold your Social Security tax, none of that. You just get your gross pay. And then every 3 months, you would have to sit down and write a check to the federal government and to the State Department of Revenue to pay your taxes. And you know, after about a year of doing that, whenever you have to sit down and write that check and you don't have the money in the account to do it, and you got to, I don't know where I'm going to come up with this. You got to write that check 3-4 times a year. Everyone in America would be far more concerned. But I just feel to the depths of my soul that because of withholding, we don't care about it. I mean, before I was a partner in the law firm, you know, I got my check and I got whatever was left over after withholding. And all I had to do was put it in the bank and make sure that, hey, by the end of the month, there's still some cash in there. Okay. And that was the only problem I had to do was make sure that there was money in the bank. But I never thought about how much we paid in taxes until I had to physically write that check. So my hope, and that's never going to happen, because the government doesn't want you to know how much you pay. And if you have withholding right now from your paycheck or from your Social Security benefits, if I were to ask you how much do you pay in taxes, your answer would be, I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I know exactly what I pay. And so at this point, that's my idea, and I don't think anything's going to come of it, but I certainly wish that it would. Hey, we're going to take a break. What's on your mind? How do you think about, or what do you think about this idea about withholding? What do you think about this idea of the federal government monitoring your bank account down to $600 in yearly transaction? Anything above $600 would get reported to Janet Yellen herself. What do you think about that? 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Work or play? KMOX is right there with you. We go where you go.
You know, talking about taxes, a lot of times it's not the most interesting topic. So I'm going to wrap it up just with this comment. Did you see AOC's dress the other night? I forgot what the event was. It was some kind of a awards banquet gala, you know, where she shows up in this white dress. And in red letters, it said, tax the rich. And she thought she was pretty cute wearing this dress that said tax the rich. Now, the funny part about it is the designer of the dress, I forgot the guy's name, but the guy who designed that dress owed tens of thousands of dollars in back taxes. So I thought that was a little ironic there that the designer of the dress is a tax scofflaw. So go figure that one out. But when it comes to taxes, and again, these numbers can just be mind-boggling. So just to break it down and to put a bow on this topic, I looked up the most recent data. 2018, that's the most recent data that we have from the IRS. And the top 1% of taxpayers, top 1%, paid $616 billion in income taxes, which was 40% of all income taxes. So the top 1% of taxpayers paid 40% of all taxes. And the bottom 50% of taxpayers paid zero. That's basically how it breaks down. So the bottom 90% of taxpayers represented about the same amount of money. So my point in mentioning that is when we get into these arguments and we hear whether it's AOC, whether it's a Senator Elizabeth Warren, whether it's Bernie Sanders talking about how the rich don't pay their fair share. Here's what I always want to know. I always want to know this. What's a fair share? Give me a number. Tell me what that number is. I wish I could depose them, because that would be the first question I would ask. What do you define as a fair share? Because if you'll notice, no one ever tells you what that fair share is. And there's a real reason for that. If they tell you what that fair share is, and then you pay that, they can't come and squeeze you for more money later. So if you ask about, oh, well, I'm more than happy to pay my fair share, just define what that means, and I'll just write a bigger check every 3 months when I pay my taxes. Nobody will ever define that. Not Biden, not Yellen, not Warren, not AOC. None of them will define that number for you. And so I've always wanted to go to some Q&A with one of these uber lib progressives. And just when they start spouting about paying their fair share, it seems to me that if you're in the top 1% of taxpayers and that 1% pays 40% of all taxes paid, to me, that pretty much defines the fair share, doesn't it? How is that not a fair share when 1% pay 40%? And in fact, I've gotten about six texts in the last 30 seconds here at 314-436-7900. And one of them was, these people claiming fair share are simply jealous of those with more. Yes, that's a lot of it. And it's also the fact that, and I think it was Margaret Thatcher that said, living on somebody else's money is a great idea until they run out of money. And that's a loose paraphrase of Margaret Thatcher. And that's exactly what it is. The progressives want to have this agenda where everyone can just not work and collect benefits and make the rich pay it. What they don't understand is the rich are never going to pay it, because they're going to figure out ways. They're going to have tax lawyers and accountants and offshore bank accounts, and they're not going to pay this. So you can enact all of the regulations you want. You can pass all of the laws you want. The people who will be harmed by those laws and regulations aren't the Jeff Bezoses of the world. They're not the Bill Gates of the world or the Warren Buffetts of the world. The folks who are going to get hosed by those laws are me and you, your family, your friends, the people you invite over for Thanksgiving, and the people that you go to birthday parties with. Because the Jeff Bezoses aren't going to pay it. And if they don't pay it, somebody has to. And that's why it's just an enormous game of musical tax chairs. And when the music stops playing, Jeff Bezos is up in space with William Shatner, who's going to space next week, by the way. Captain Kirk going to space. But at this point, they're not going to be worried about sitting in the chair when the music stops playing. It's going to be me and you that lose out on a seat. So, because they're not going to be playing the same game that we're playing. They're simply not. And thank you for, again, I just got another text in here, and I appreciate those comments. Thank you very much. Keep those, keep the cards and letters coming. We always appreciate that. And after the break, we're going to take a break here in about a minute. But what I'd like to talk about next hour is inflation. I know it's monetary stuff, but I don't want to talk about the concept or the philosophy or talk about stagflation or the Phillips curve when it comes to economic analysis. I don't want to talk about that because that's academic stuff. But I want to break down some inflation figures, but I'd like to hear from you. How have you noticed inflation impacting your bottom line? When you go to the store, when you gas up your car, when you buy your groceries, when you buy any goods or services, how is inflation impacting you? Because that's what really matters. Not what some economist says in Washington, but the folks right here on Main Street USA. Brad Young in this evening at your service until 11 p.m. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.